Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When your health matters most, trust South Central Regional Medical Center. From family care to life-saving treatment, our team is here for you. Find our services at scrmc.com. South Central Regional Medical Center. Excellent care and service, every patient, every interaction, every time.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Glad you're with us. Got a good show for you today. Going to talk a lot of basketball, some football, some baseball. Just glad you're tuned in. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. And that's where we go for good family meals and to cater big events. Check them out. They do excellent catering work. And their food is always fresh and delicious at Dickey's Barbecue. So we start out the week. Craig Stevenson from AL.com is about to join us. But I guess congratulations are in order. Are they not, Kelly?
Hey, the Eagles. And again, they won. Haven't played the strongest schedule yet in basketball. Or were you talking about Dima?
I was actually talking about our young protege here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
We were thinking about sports second. Kelly.
Congratulations for both, but Dima and his lovely wife announced they're having a baby girl this weekend.
Yes, very exciting. We were able to announce that this weekend. Esther Louise Mixon coming to the world in July of 2026. So just a couple months away now. It's getting real. We're starting to set up the nursery and stuff, and it's like, oh, my gosh.
And the nickname is going to be Kelly Bobby?
It's not going to be Kelly Bobby. But we'll save that in mind for our boy.
For her initials, it'll be Elm, and she'll turn red in the fall.
All right, let's get to Craig.
Craig Stevenson joins us from AL.com. Pardon that discretion there, Craig. We got a little sidetracked.
That's okay. I'm glad to be with you guys.
Yeah. All right, Craig, a little excitement down here. Southern Miss basketball surging. They're 11-7, 5-1 now in the league. But as we've pointed out for the past week, I think the real first test comes this week when they take on Troy. What kind of basketball team is Troy putting on the floor?
It's interesting, and obviously this is the case at a lot of places in the Sun Belt where you lose a lot from the year before, and you just have to get a good portal class, and it seems like that's what they have done, although they did have some experienced guys back. But the thing with them is all five of their starters, Victor Valdez, Thomas Dowell, Theo Singh, and then the Campbell brothers, Cooper and Kobe, all of them can shoot three-pointers. And all of them can run the floor. I mean, Dowd is about 6'8", Valdez, Singh, 6'7", 6'8". They can all move. They can all shoot. And then the Campbell brothers are just, you know, gunners, basically. And so they have scored a ton of points. They had back-to-back triple overtime games back on the West Coast earlier this season. I think they've hit 106 times this year. They've hit 90 a couple of other times, including the other day against Louisiana. So they can really score. So if they have a good night shooting, they are very, very tough to beat.
One of the things that, Craig, that the Eagles have done really well is take care of the basketball. I mean, this past weekend, less than 10 turnovers in a game, and any time you can get in those single digits, that's ideal. But the Eagles have done it four times. So now, and granted, they haven't played the strongest Sun Belt competition with four of their five wins being against Louisiana or Louisiana Monroe, but that's one thing that Troy is going to have to try to do to give themselves more of a cushion is try to create turnovers, but the Eagles have been stingy there.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I think with Troy, it's been about trying to outscore people because they have lost a couple of high-scoring games. They lost to West Georgia earlier this year in double overtime when they scored 89, but they gave up 93. So they will give up some points. They beat UAB 86-85 on a last-second bucket. And even the game, Texas State scored 100, but they gave up 80. So I think that they are just going to try to outscore people. They're I think they're capable on defense. I think Dowd is a really good two-way guy in the middle. You know, he averages a double-double per game. But the rest of them are really kind of offensive-minded. So that's kind of where they do it. Again, if you can somehow keep them from having a good night shooting, you got a chance. You know, South Alabama played them up there last weekend on the 3rd, or I guess 2 weekends ago, and they held Troy to 59. But, you know, South only scored 49, so they lost the game. But just about every other game, though, they have been at least into the high 70s and, you know, like I said, 80s, 90s, and even over 100 a few times.
In the years that you've covered the Sun Belt, though, Craig, does it not seem absolutely totally wide open this year? When it looked like Georgia Southern might be the breakaway team, they get beat Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've got, you know, Southern Miss sitting there at 5-1, Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, and Troy, 4-1, South Alabama, Marshall, 3-2, and then a couple of teams at 3-3. So, yeah, absolutely, I think it is. And, you know, last year they ended there in a four-way tie. So, you know, it's nothing new. You had, you know, Arkansas State, Troy, South Alabama, and James Madison all tied. And James Madison maybe looks like they're taking a little bit of a step back this year. But the other three are pretty good again. Georgia Southern's come on, and, you know, like you said, with Southern Miss, you know, it's, you know, they had that great year, what was it, 2-3 years ago, and then have been not great the last couple of years. But, you know, if you get a good portal cycle, it's easy to turn it around pretty quickly.
Feels like a lot of the teams at the top are very similar, Craig, with South Al, Troy, Georgia Southern, Arkansas State, Southern Miss. I mean, they're all very comparable. You know, and you just ran through Troy and South Alabama. I mean, do you think that the overall league a little bit better than last season? I mean, I think you could make that argument.
Yeah, it's maybe. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. And, you know, they all have trouble getting good non-conference games because of just the way the power conference teams schedule now. They want to play each other, or they want to play, you know, your low majors. The SWAC teams or the, you know, SoCon and people like that they're almost guaranteed to win, you know, so they don't want to have a quad three game where they lose or don't play well and it hurts their overall ranking. So it's been hard. You know, South Alabama did not play a power conference team in the non-conference this year. They weren't able to get a game, and we've seen a few other ones do that. But, yeah, it does seem very competitive. I agree with you. You know, Georgia Southern was rolling right along, and then South Alabama pretty well dominated them the whole game. And then, you know, South didn't play very well against Troy. And, you know, I think Arkansas State is the quality program again. But, yeah, it could be any among five or six that are pretty good. You know, the one team that does look like they've taken a real step back this year is James Madison. But with maybe Southern Miss and Georgia Southern moving up to the top, it makes the top strong again.
I mean, I personally think a team not to sleep on is Marshall. I mean, they look to be back in their three-point ways where they're shooting the basketball. I know they lost to Georgia State this weekend, but, you know, I think that they're a team that, you know, a lot of people aren't talking about, but, you know, they still have the talent and the three-point shooting abilities maybe to get back to their old Marshall roots.
Yeah, that's possible. I got to admit, I have not seen them play this year. Okay. I've seen a lot of the other ones, but I've not watched them. So I'll take your word for it. But again, record-wise, they do look like a quality team. And, you know, for the most part, teams are winning their home games, too. Yeah. You know, so
even Georgia State. Even Georgia State is winning their home games. But can we all agree that nobody feels sorry for James Madison?
I sure don't.
Of course not.
I'm delighted to hear they suck in something.
Yeah, I don't know how bad they are, but, yeah, they're not as good as they were. But, yes, they are extremely smug, I will say that. Sure. You guys know that. But, they did. Now, they did play their first four in the conference on the road and lost three of them. South Alabama had the same situation where they played four straight on the road and went 2-2, which they were pretty happy to be honest with you to come out of that at 2-2.
Go ahead.
Both South Alabama and Troy the same story of Southern Miss in that it is virtually a new team from last year?
Troy, the five that are starting this year were on the team last year. Dowd was an all-conference type player last year, but the other guys were mostly role players. South Alabama, yes. With the exception of a couple of guys. But, yeah, their best players for sure are all new guys. Chase Harris was an NAIA guy last year. Adam Olson is from Canada. And how they found him, I have no idea. Stephen Williams is a JUCO transfer, probably their best inside guy now that Peyton Law, who is another NAIA guy, is out for the year. But yeah, really the only guy that is a major contributor for last year that has been one of their better players so far is Jaden Cooper. Now, John Broom, who was supposed to be their best veteran guy, had a kind of a mysterious offseason illness and lost about 20 pounds, and he's just now getting back to where he was. But he is a really good defensive player, and he played pretty well as off the bench against Georgia Southern. So they're hoping to get more out of him. But yes, well, South Alabama especially, I would say, you know, six of their top eight are all new guys.
All right, can you stick around for a little more conversation, Craig?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay, Craig Stevenson's with us from AL.com. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little Sun Belt baseball maybe.
Wow.
And some football as well as the Super Talk Eagle Hour kicks off a new week. Hey, Forest Health reminds you to keep up with your favorite team. That's fun. But don't forget about the most important player, and that, of course, is you. Get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, and we're so fortunate to have them here. ForestHealth.org. And as we head into the break, don't forget about our podcast. That's where thousands of you find us every month, and we're grateful. Apple Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Glad you're with us around the state. Got Craig Stevenson with AL.com on with us. So, Kelly, if I were going to put a couple of new tires on the back of my wife's RAV4, which looks like I'm about to have to do.
Say no more.
Where would you go?
I would go to Eagle Tire West on Highway 98.
Now, why is that, Kelly?
Well, because, first of all, you're dealing with quality Goodyear products. That's right. All. I mean, the name Goodyear says it all.
That's right. Right?
You've got a family-owned businesses. The Warrens have been doing this a long time.
Right.
And you don't get to have a lot of different outlets like they've got if you don't do the job right. Because word of mouth is the strongest advertising you can have.
Wow.
And when you do your job right, people tell everybody else about it, and the business thrives and flourishes. And it's not just tires, Bob.
Wow.
It's full service. Anything
you were
with
ready for this question, cars. Mr. Brother. Did you study up over the weekend or something?
I wish I could hear his answer on that water we had sponsored.
Yeah,
you see Dima rolling up his pant legs
wow,
over here.
Have mercy.
I didn't want to see you rolling up your pant legs.
Matt Moore would be really happy to hear this plug.
And where is Eagle Tire West located,
Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, Kelly, right next to
Smith Motor Company,
which is a fine business in its own right.
Any business that works with us here on the, because we have certain standards too.
That's right.
We require that any business that does advertising on our show has a check that will clear.
They all clear.
Yes. Not the ones Kelly writes out.
That's right.
Well, Craig Stevenson probably never come back on the show again, but he's with us today. So, Craig, I got two questions for you. And Kelly brought it up during the break. The screwed up scheduling that the Sun Belt has, where they send their basketball teams on the road for four straight games. Dima's pointing out Southern Miss is going to play Troy, Texas State, which is on the other end of the planet, then all the way to the East Coast to play Coastal.
Mm-hmm.
And then back again
to Georgia State.
To play Georgia State. Why are they doing that to schools, and why is it so difficult, in your estimation, to win basketball games on the road?
Yeah, I don't know why. You're right. You know, they used to do travel partner type things. You know, like South and Troy would go, and they'd play Louisiana and ULM back-to-back. And the men and women would both play, you know, all both places. But they don't do that anymore, and it seems like it. I don't know if it's just kind of randomly generated by, you know, they put it in, punch it all on a computer and spits it out. I'm not sure, but it is weird that you have all these. You know, I think two, maybe three, just because you have some buys in there, should probably be the max. But for whatever reason, you have four at the beginning and at the end in a lot of cases. In terms of why it's so hard to win on the road in basketball, I mean, I think there's always the things about being on the road, being away, you know, just travel difficulty, fatigue, not being in your own gym, you know, not having facilities to maybe do your to game plan differently or switch your game plan up. But to me, the main thing I've always heard in basketball is just the shooting backgrounds are different. You know, some places you have a big wide open gym, some you have fans right behind the basket, some you don't, some you just have a, you know, some sort of whatever, you know, they're banner logos or whatever. So I think that's the biggest thing, just not being used to being in that particular place to shoot. And we also see it in the Sun Belt tournament sometimes. Mm-hmm. The first day or so, the teams that make it through multiple games, you know, they don't shoot very well the first game, but by the end of the week they're doing a lot better. So I think that's probably the biggest thing in basketball.
On the Sun Belt tournament, Craig, we talked about on the show last week about how we thought that the sweet spot in that tournament is the 3-6 seed, because while the right. 1 and 2 get that, you know, whatever it is, quadruple bye to the semifinals, mm-hmm. their first game, you know, is against a team who's coming out of the bracket. But if you play that first game as the, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, you have kind of a winnable game playing on that court before another meaningful game against either the 1 or 2 seed.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, South was the one last year and lost in their first game. So they played Arkansas State, as you mentioned, which they tied with, split with during the regular season, but they won the tiebreaker. And then I guess the same thing happened to Southern Miss a couple of years ago when mm-hmm. South Alabama beat them. So, it that quadruple bye definitely is not all that beneficial. I agree with you. When you're playing your first game of the tournament against, you know, usually the 2, 3, or 4, if you're the one seed, that's not a great benefit.
One of the big arguments that that we're not going to solve on this show today either, Craig, is when it comes to the league overall's health in basketball. For the fans, it's great to have parity, not knowing, you know, who's going to be the favorite and who's going to win that Sun Belt tournament. But it is argued that a commissioner in any league would rather have a team or two that is head and shoulders better than anybody else, because it helps national publicity, knowing that those two teams are going to grab a headline here or there. Where do you stand? Where do you come down? On which side of the fence?
No, I agree with that. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason they went to this current format for the Sun Belt tournament, because you didn't want to have a, you know, a bracket where one team could get hot, you know, your 8 seed get hot for 4 days and win it. You know, the 1 seed having to play the same number of games. And that's why they went to this deal where the one, you know, if you're going to be a low seed and win it, you got to win like 5 games in 5 days. But yeah, they had a few years ago, back before Southern Miss joined the league, there were a couple of years where Georgia State was really good. I mean, like 25-5, and they lost in the semifinals or something. And then, you know, so the league got one team in, you know, and it was not a very good team, because the Sun Belt's not going to get more than one. You know, James Madison 2 years ago would have been a real test. You know, they had a really good non-conference schedule and, you know, high rankings in the net and the RPI and all that. If they had not won the tournament, I would have been really interested to see if they had made it as an at-large, because the Sun Belt has not had an at-large in men's basketball since 2007, which was South Alabama. Western Kentucky won the tournament, and South was the regular season champion, and they both went. But I don't think there has not been more than one team in men's basketball make the NCAA tournament since then.
Greg, about 4 minutes left. I want to switch gears real quickly to the sport that's about to start, baseball. The D1 preseason poll comes out today. There are two Sun Belt teams in that poll. Coastal Carolina, which was the runner-up to the national champion last year, number 6 in the nation. Southern Miss, number 20. So that's good for the conference. I think you could argue that's the conference's best overall sport. Are those two teams seen as the two teams to beat in the league this coming year? And what do we look for out of what's always a really competitive Troy team and what for many, many years was a competitive South Alabama program?
Yeah, I think so, at least by reputation. You know, Coastal and Southern Miss are the best programs in the league and by history. Although Troy, as you said, has been really good the last couple of years. Skylar Mead, that was a great hire. He was the assistant coach at Louisville, and he was hired at Troy, and they are as good now as they have ever been, you know, probably going way back to the D2 days. But I'm really kind of surprised he's still there, to be honest with you. I thought he might have gotten a bigger job by now. But I think as long as he's there, they're going to be good. South Alabama, I don't know. I mean, they've really hit the skids lately, man. They have not won. They won the tournament in 2021, the Sun Belt tournament in 2021. They have not won a postseason game since then. They have not been in the tournament, what is it, two of the last 3 years. So I don't know, or maybe it's three of the last four. I don't know what's going on there. You know, Mark Calvi had a really nice run, but has hit the skids lately. And, you know, part of it just seems like it's a crapshoot to, are you going to be able to, do you have a really good crop of junior college pitchers this year? And if you don't, you're in trouble. And obviously NIL at the higher levels has allowed some of those programs keep their guys that might transfer down. You know, they had a few years ago, they had several guys from Auburn on their staff, but that's not happening anymore. So I don't know. I think that, you know, with Calvi, he's got, I think, at least one more year on his contract, maybe two. I'd be kind of surprised if he's back when it's up, to be honest with you, unless they make a major turnaround this year. And I don't know if they will. I mean, it's kind of early. I haven't really studied it hard yet this year, but
Craig,
I'm not sure they're going to be very good.
You talked to some of your baseball fans down there, and they said it's interesting that they have hit the skids, but they said as soon as the school started putting resources in the football program and shifting its focus to football, which, let's face it, South Al baseball had been really the bell
really
cow
good.
For a long time. But as resources have shifted to football, they say that's why baseball has fallen. Is that a reasonable argument?
It's certainly an argument. I'm not sure, you know, it may be correlation without causation, but it is certainly related, I would say. And I agree that, baseball, it's kind of, you know, basketball kind of took a little bit of a dive after football started, you know, came on the scene too. But basketball has rebounded a little bit, no pun intended, with Richie Riley. And, you know, it's hard to say. I think that maybe you just need a new voice there. And if they can do that, maybe they can get it turned around. But, yeah, it is. You know, I think part of what is hurt South Alabama in baseball too is that the other teams in the state started taking baseball seriously, whereas they weren't for years and years and years. But it's the case now for sure.
Well, Craig, we really appreciate it. Craig Stevenson from AL.com. Your insight's always very, very good, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Always a pleasure. I always take care of my Mississippi people.
There we go. All right, thank you, Craig. Craig Stevenson, AL.com. And that baseball poll, we can talk a little bit more about that. I think when we come back, correct me, Dima, but I think this is the first time in years that D1 has put the team in the preseason top 25.
Yeah, it's the first time definitely in 4 or 5 years that I can remember.
We'll talk about that, some football news as well, and we've got to talk about Lady Eagle basketball. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Craig Stevenson from AL.com for joining us on the show. Jay Ladner on the program tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We're working on that. Also, Caleb Triplett is a new football commitment, and I think we're going to get an opportunity to talk to him. Before we get off of basketball, I should point out that the women went on the road to App State. They lost big, 82-59. They'll play again Wednesday against Texas State. Dima, I was a little surprised. The women really looked good, and they took it pretty hard on the chin.
Yeah, and again, you know, some of this can just be attributed to it's hard to win on the road. And when we had Missy on, you know, last week, she was saying that we've played at home for most of these games, you know, and we haven't been able to. And she said, I think it was 11 out of the last 14 are on the road for them. And so the first one didn't go well, 82-59, as you said. Really, to me, you know, Carly Keats, 0 points in that game. And she's one of their players who has to score the basketball for them to win. 0 points. I don't think she's had a game this year with 0 points. But, of course, you have Kayla Johnson doing what she does with 23 points. But, you know, it's just not enough to play against a pretty good App State team. Not of course, the best App State team, but a pretty decent App State team. But, of course, that was App State's first conference win. So then you're kind of like, oh, you know, you don't know. But Southern Miss 3-2, 10-6 overall. And they're back on the road, as you said, against Texas State this weekend. A Texas State ball club who's 7-8 and also is a pretty good basketball team.
But that's the first game of a four-game road trip now.
Three-game road trip.
Three games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the men have a four-game road trip.
Yeah, and the women finish the year on a four-game road trip. So February 12th against UL Monroe, that will be the last time you see the women at Ray Green Coliseum in like the start of February. And they have a month until the tournament.
So if I could talk to Keith Gill, the commissioner, that's the only question I would ask him at this point.
I'm going to ask him at it Sunbelt Media Days in July.
You know, what,
you know, like, I know this, we're here for football, but what is the deal with your basketball scheduling?
Especially when
baseball.
Especially when you want to strengthen the overall basketball league.
Well, speaking of scheduling, so the D1 baseball preseason poll comes out. Southern Miss is ranked 20th in the country. Coastal is ranked 6th. The two best teams, and you just heard that from Craig Stevenson, who covers Alabama schools for a living, the two best baseball teams in the league. And Dema Mixon, they don't play each other again. It's just hard to believe.
It really is. And shout out to Patrick McGee on Twitter for this. But he went through all of the top 25 teams. And he says Coastal and USM are the only teams in this outside the Power Conference and are in the same league but don't play one another. So,
is that right?
Yes. So shout out to him. He's a great follow on Twitter, by the way, if you want some good stuff. But, yeah, I know. It is wild. What I did think was really interesting was how high Coastal was, you know, and I know that they're the runner-up to the national championship, and I know they got their coach back, but, you know, you lost Jacob Morrison, who was just an unbelievable pitcher for them last season. You lost Bodine and the second – is the second baseman Bodine? Who's the catcher? You know, they had a trio there who was just –
A tremendous catcher,
a tremendous second baseman. And those guys have been there for a long time. They're all gone now. So I think there's a lot of questions around Coastal. So I'm kind of hesitant to put them in the top 10 in the country right now. But,
right.
I mean, of course, they're going to be good. They're going to get their wins. But I don't know if I'd put them ahead of them. I mean, they have them ahead of Arkansas, North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida. I don't know. That's a little crazy to me. But
well, here's something, too, that's unusual, Kelly. And you've been following Southern Miss for decades like I have. It's pretty rare to see the Golden, even the baseball team, as great as it is, to be coming out in every preseason poll in the top 20, 25, because normally they have to play their way into it. It just seems like every year. So what is this signal? I mean, what is this signal now for the first time? I think it's the first time ever. The first two preseason polls have come out. The Eagles have ranked in the top
20. Definitely not the first time ever. But
D1 has been especially harsh. Yeah. On the Eagles prior to the season. So I think what this is telling D1's readers is we get it. We hear you. The consistent performance of Southern Miss warrants this ranking. Now, to Dema's point about Coastal Carolina, it's reasonable to assume that all of these teams, not just Coastal and Southern Miss, but all these teams that are in the top 25, have programs that are developed to the point where even when you lose good players, look at Southern Miss, the players they lost last year, and it's next man up.
Yep.
You know, and you're not gonna lose any quality, and you might even improve just a little bit, which would warrant the higher ranking by D1. But that's what I think it means is the D1, the consistent
body of
work.
And I'm just gonna say right now, and I said this every time these come out, I hate with a passion, hate preseason rankings. I think they're dumb. They start this, you know, narrative for all the teams in the top five that they just have to be good since they were ranked in the – like, Mississippi State, by the way, they're number four in the preseason poll.
Explain that to me.
Which I think they are going to be really good this year. You know, Sam Sklar, former friend of the show, former here at Hattiesburg American, me and him talked some. He said State's going to be really good. Okay, well, they still have to win. You know, like they still have to prove it on the field, on the diamond. So does Southern Miss. I mean, I think this year there's a lot of questions surrounding the Southern Miss baseball team. You know, and but they're put in the top 20. And so I hate preseason rankings. I think we should have the first rankings about 4 weeks into the regular season. And if it looks the same as this, great. But it's all for ratings. It's nobody knows that if UCLA is going to be number one. Like, is UCLA going to be the top overall seed in baseball this year? Yes or no?
No.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, yeah, you don't know. So I just think preseason polls rankings are stupid. It's all just for clicks and retweets. And I think one thing we should definitely not do next year in football is have a preseason poll, by the way. Just wanted to point that out.
Well, we can say this. We do expect great things out of both Coastal and Southern Miss. I think Troy will be competitive. And Louisiana's always going to be competitive. And I bet you guys there's another school that nobody's talking about right now that will be a surprise this year. You know, that'll be a dangerous team to have to play.
I think Texas State could fall into that mix. You know, they had a kind of an off season last year, but they've been historically pretty good.
I think App State's improved.
App State has improved, of course.
As much as we've covered journalistically all schools, particularly Southern Miss, Bob, did you ever think that 20 years ago we'd be talking about retweets and clicks? Clicks and
no, but then 20 years ago, I would have never thought that Southern Miss would become a baseball school. You know, so nothing is predictable, is it?
Yeah, it's crazy. And Southern Miss is 100% a baseball school, and there is no more debating it ever. I don't even think it's a conversation.
I think there's as much chance of that changing as there is the Bengals winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, man, kick a guy while he's down. Why don't you?
By the way, during the break, Kelly goes, I didn't watch a single play of football because it's just not an official football season because the Bengals are playing.
I said it's not going to be an official Super Bowl. Because
that means almost every Super Bowl has not been
It means every Super Bowl. Yeah.
There have been three official Super Bowls. Thank you very much.
How many of those did y'all win?
What's the record there, Kelly?
Talking about Southern Miss football.
Hey, let's talk about that. There's a quarterback in town. Guys
from the University of Illinois.
Yes.
And I want to talk a little bit about, well, Dima's going to pull up information on the quarterback from Illinois, Caleb Triplett, who's going to be on the program tomorrow, an outstanding linebacker from D'Iberville High School, which, of course, the perfect 10, right, came from D'Iberville. And talking to some of the football powers that be down on the coast, then one of the things they have already liked about the very short tenure of Blake Anderson is a reopening of the book, as it were, to recruiting Gulf Coast athletes. Now, Caleb Triplett has had offers from SEC schools and was waiting to hear from Southern Miss. Never got a sniff at all from the Charles Huff coaching staff, and a lot of them felt down there that Huff was so ingrained to recruiting Virginia, North Carolina, all those places that he came from, that they didn't and wasn't going to be here a long time, that they just totally ignored the coast. Well, Caleb Triplett finally got that call from Southern Miss and committed like that.
He committed during the game, didn't he? Is he the kid that committed during the All-Star game this weekend? Put on a hat on the sidelines, the All-American.
I think he committed earlier. I think he committed a little bit earlier than that. But it's going to be good to talk to him, because Southern Miss needs linebackers, right? I mean, Chris Jones leaving, and that's one of the areas where they were really depleted. So the fact that a local guy who has SEC caliber talent is committing to Southern Miss.
Ethan Hampton is the quarterback aforementioned by Kelly Sander there. Sixth-year guy, by the way, this guy from Illinois, sixth-year guy. He had 4 years at NIU, Northern Illinois, threw for, you know, 2,595 yards over those 5 years, 21 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, so not a great ratio there. But he is an experienced and guy for Southern Miss football to get into here where it's not, you know, you're not starting a freshman. He is an experienced player. Has group of five experience, and of course beat Notre Dame a couple of years ago. He was the quarterback that Northern Illinois had beat Notre Dame in 2024.
We'll take him, right?
There's definitely movement. I mean, you're seeing that roster now fill out pretty quickly as Blake Anderson and his guys have hit the ground running, recruiting, and getting some of these spots filled. And that's the one thing that if there was a thing you liked about the transfer portal, is it's okay, what are we in the mood for? It's kind of like a restaurant menu. What are we in the mood for? What do we need? And what are our choices? And you can zero in on those guys knowing that you have a shot at getting them. And they're getting a lot of yeses, which that's great news.
Good news, no question. All right, when we come back, news and notes. But before we go there, MCS Home Center wants to remind you that for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, they've got everything you need for your next project, including your lawn and garden. MCS Home Center is Hattiesburg's new improvement center. Local folks eager to help you. They're at 7329 Highway 98 West. Why would you not do business with these local people, right, Kelly?
That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, that last segment sponsored by DBAT out on Hardy Street. It's a great place now. Baseball is just around the corner. Man, let me repeat that. Baseball is just around the corner. Now would be the time to take your children to DBAT. And if you're into spring sports like pickleball, like Kelly is, jogging, long distance running like Kelly, you do a lot of training there at DBAT, don't you?
I'm into being pickled, but not.
Oh my gosh!
But not pickleball necessarily.
Well, they can't help Kelly, but they can help you at DBAT, and it is a great place. And 4th Street Barn Grill, a great place to enjoy a good meal anytime you like. And hello to our buddies down at 4th Street. Kelly, what you got?
I just think when we talk about men's basketball at Southern Miss, somebody that we have not talked about hardly ever this season, who's really starting to come into his own, is Jahi Benet, the player from France, one of our big guys. And let me tell you why I think it's important that we talk about him. He scored 16 points in the win on Saturday, and he's had double figures now 8 times this season and his 4th straight game. And he picked up his 4th double-double of the season. He's really playing well. That's his 3rd double-double in the last 4 games. And it's his 1st double-double in consecutive games. Now, Denaja Harris did it last year, but Benet is playing really good basketball. And he and we've talked about how Dylan Brumfield is also playing exceptional basketball right now. And they knew that when Isaac Tavares went down that a couple of guys were going to have to step up. And I think you're seeing two guys that are doing that. And it's helping the team win. And I know we've talked, to be fair, about the fact that Louisiana and Louisiana Monroe have not been world beaters so far. But as we've also documented on this show, it's tough to win on the road. Mm-hmm. And they've won some of those games on the road, but it's because of the way that those guys are playing. So I just think we haven't talked a lot about Benet. He's the Frenchman. But obviously with a name like Benet, you know, he's the French guy on the team, as we have kind of a United Nations roster every year. But he's really playing good basketball, and we haven't talked about him. So
He hit a 3 on Saturday, which I asked him after the game. I said, was that one of your first 3s like ever in your career? And he said, yeah, that was probably the first 3 I hit in like 3 years. So that was cool. And Jay, you know, sitting to his right, and he said, yeah, Dima, don't encourage him. We do not want him shooting the 3-ball. But, you know, if he hits it, you know, you're not going to complain. But he's been a really good addition to this basketball team. And like we said, when we saw this team play those non-conference games, we said that, man, these guys could really be competitive in the Sun Belt. You know, sometimes you can tell when they're playing those non-con games, you're like, I don't know. You know, but I mean, we all said this team, even if they're losing close games at South Carolina and the other teams they play at Buffalo, whoever else it was, you know, they were losing those close games on the road, but you were like, man, they'll be able to beat ULM, Louisiana, you know, Texas State, all these teams that they've already beaten. But I still think the rubber meets the road on Wednesday night playing Troy on the road. What do y'all think? You know, they have this four-game road trip coming up. Is 2-2? You're trying to achieve 2-2 here, right? And then best-case scenario is 3-1?
Because I do think there are going to be other teams that are going to go to the Cajun Dome and to ULM and beat them over there. It's Louisiana and Monroe are just really struggling right now. So I don't think you're taking one away from the field by winning those two games like they did.
Right.
These are those ones coming up and some other games coming down the road. If you can pick off one or two of those, then you're picking up a game on the field.
I think you need to beat Georgia State on the road, right? Like, I think that's one to steal.
And they've won two in a row
at
home against good teams.
I think if you can come back home 2-2 on this four-game road trip, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, because then you'd be, 7-3 in that scenario? So, I think that would be fine because then you have two home games after that, which potentially could get you to 9-3, and then you'd be really in conversation for that top six seed that we've discussed.
And it kind of starts Wednesday night. That could
be a
big, big win for them.
I mean, if they win Wednesday night, then we're talking about this team in a whole other light, I think. More on – less on, you know, they're 5-1 but haven't played the best competition in the Sun Belt, and more about, like, hey, maybe this is – like a really good basketball team who might could win this
thing. And the schedulers actually helped them, as it turns out, because they do not play Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern was the other team that was right up there at the top. Of course, they lost this weekend, but they don't even play Georgia Southern during the regular season. That's another question I'd have for the commissioners. Why doesn't everybody, whether it's a road game or a home game, you should play everybody in the league at least once. Mm-hmm. At least once.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll see. Wednesday night, big night, I think, for men's basketball, and certainly be pulling for them. ESPN Plus game, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, 40 seconds left. Any thoughts about the NFL weekend? It was awesome, wasn't it, Damon?
It was good, and I want to say shout out to the death that we had in sports this week of the SEC. They died this weekend. There's no more debate. There's no more argument. The SEC is dead, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, they were not very impressive. In the
so is the Big Ten the big kahuna now?
Yeah, there's no question.
No doubt about it. I don't even think there's a debate anymore.
No, I think that's right.
The Big Ten is about to win three championships in a row.
Yeah.
So the Sun Belt's out. You're saying we're out.
Okay. Not in baseball.
Making a run, brother.
Yeah, not in baseball. There you go.
You are right about the SEC.
Yes, they are dead.
Can we please just maybe one year not hear how incredibly awesome they are?
And I think this year just did it in for them. They didn't even beat another power conference in the playoffs. They beat the SEC in a group of five team. Alabama beat Oklahoma and Ole Miss beat Georgia. They didn't beat another power four team.
Sing it, brother.
I will say, though, of the SEC teams, I think Ole Miss was the best one this year.
Yeah.
They're all mid.
I'm looking forward to baseball. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Crowd.
Jay Ladner on the show tomorrow. Caleb Triplett as well. And we are very excited about basketball. Both teams are doing very, very well. We're really happy to see that. So we'll talk more basketball tomorrow. Till then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.